Welcome to the teaching ministry of Daybreak Community Church. They invite you to join them for worship at 10 a.m. Sunday morning at 342 Nold Avenue in downtown Worcester. More information is at dccworcester.org. Here's Pastor Richard Frazier bringing real hope to real people from Daybreak Community Church.
Good morning, my friends. I'm Pastor Richard Frazier from Daybreak Community Church in downtown Worcester. We're glad you could join us here on 104.5 The River. Before we jump into today's special message, let us prepare our hearts for the reading of today's scripture.
Good morning, Daybreak. Today, Pastor Rich continues his series in the book of Acts. Sometimes it's called Acts of the Apostles. Sometimes it's called Acts of the Spirit, because the Holy Spirit plays a major role throughout the entire book. You know, we saw in Acts chapter 1 how the Holy Spirit came down and filled the apostles. And then in Acts chapter 2, we saw how Peter preached to the Jews on the day of Pentecost about their involvement with the crucifixion of Jesus. And when they were cut to the heart and said, "Brothers, what must we do?" Peter told them simply, "Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." So this is where the Spirit comes to live and dwell within us. Sometimes this is called the indwelling gift of the Holy Spirit. This is why Paul in 1 Corinthians could talk about our bodies being the temple of God, because the Spirit, God's Spirit, is living within us. Now, an interesting thing, and yes, I'm going to get to Acts chapter 4, verses 1 through 22 here in a minute. But the interesting thing is that when the Holy Spirit interacted with people during the Old Testament days, it was usually the Holy Spirit would usually fall, rest upon, or rush upon a person. And it was usually for like a specific task. You know, this was when, you know, they were building the tabernacle and everything that went along with it. The Holy Spirit enabled the artisans to do their work. So for the prophets and for the people assigned a task, you know, to do this, do something for God, the typical manner was the Holy Spirit falling upon or resting upon. And that all changes, you know, when we get into the New Testament. You know, specifically the book of Acts, you know, Jesus talked about baptizing with water and then baptizing with the Spirit. And in here in Acts, we see the Spirit being poured out. You know, Acts chapter 2, you know, Peter links that with the fulfillment of Joel's prophecy. And so now we're seeing how the Spirit indwells and empowers people. And in today's message is going to be how the Spirit has empowered and emboldened Peter and John before the council. So let me go ahead and read Acts chapter 4, verses 1 through 22. "And as they were speaking to the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, greatly annoyed because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they arrested them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. But many of those who had heard the word believed, and the number of the men came to about 5,000. And they're just counting the men there, so they're probably women and children as well. Verse 5, "On the next day, their rulers and elders and scribes gathered together in Jerusalem with Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and all who were of the high priestly family. And when they had set them in the midst, they inquired, "By what power or by what name do you do this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders, if we are being examined today concerning a good deed done to a crippled man, by what means this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you well. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." Verse 13. "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated, common men, they were astonished, and they recognized that they had been with Jesus. By seeing the man who was healed standing beside them, they had nothing to say in opposition. But when they had commanded them to leave the council, they conferred with one another, saying, 'What shall we do with these men? For that a notable sign has been performed through them is evident to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But in order that it may spread no further among the people, let us warn them to speak no more to anyone in this name.'" Verse 18. "So they called them and charged them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered them, 'Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than to God, you must judge. For we cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard.' And when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way to punish them because of the people. For all were praising God for what had happened. For the man on whom this sign of healing was performed was more than 40 years old." Amen. That is the reading of God's word. Pastor Rich.
Thank you, Bobby, for the reading of God's word. Good morning, my brothers and sisters in Christ. To begin, I want you to picture this. There is a faint knock at your door. You open it to find a shy man who timidly asks, you wouldn't want to buy a vacuum cleaner, would you?" Now, unless you either take great pity on this poor excuse for a salesman, or you badly needed what he was selling, you would not respond positively to his weak presentation, would you? Though there are many differences between salesmanship and evangelism, there are a few similarities. An obvious similarity is that if you want to communicate effectively, you must be confident about your subject. The best salesman honestly believes that his product is something that people really need. The best evangelists are confident that Jesus Christ is the only Savior and that people desperately need to trust in him or they will perish. As we have studied these past few weeks, God used Peter and John to heal a crippled beggar in his 40s who had been lame from birth. The spectacle of this man walking, leaping, and praising God draws a crowd, and Peter begins to preach the gospel to them. Suddenly, Peter is interrupted by the priests, the captain of the temple guard, and the Sadducees, as they are upset that Peter was teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. They arrested Peter and John, put them in jail overnight, and the next day they were brought in front of the Jewish Sanhedrin. Although they were on trial before this intimidating council, Peter quickly turned the tables on the Sanhedrin, showing that it was they who were on trial. He points out that it was not a crime to do a good deed to a cripple. Then he indicts the Sanhedrin because they had crucified Jesus, whom God had raised from the dead, and in whose name this lame man has been healed. Furthermore, Peter let them know that there is salvation in no one else except Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 4, verse 12 says, "Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved." You see, The awesome amazingness of this moment is not just that Peter and John are on trial for what they believe. It is the fact that Peter doesn't see a court. He sees a congregation. And he does what any good preacher does. He preaches. The members of the council are amazed at the boldness of Peter and John, who had not been educated in their schools. After a private conference, the council commands Peter and John not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. However, Peter and John replied that they had to obey God because they could not stop speaking what they had seen and heard. While Peter and John had to be commanded to stop speaking, most of us need to be reminded of the command to speak to others in words and action about Jesus Christ. Unfortunately, many modern Christians think that Jesus' great commission was really just a great suggestion. We all should seek to be bold witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ as Peter and John were. Today, we're going to note the four characteristics of a bold witness that we can learn from Peter and John. First, a bold witness is empowered with the Spirit. A bold witness is empowered with the Spirit. Empowered means filled. So another way to say is that a bold witness is filled with the Spirit. Verse 8 says, "Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them." To picture this scene correctly, we need to understand how threatening it was for Peter and John. The Sanhedrin was like our Supreme Court. The high priest was the most powerful Jew in the city, and the captain of the temple guard was second behind him. They were standing before very powerful men. In contrast, just a few weeks before, Peter, in order to avoid possible arrest, had denied that he knew Jesus Christ to a lowly servant girl. But here he is before this powerful body of men, boldly reminding them that they had crucified Jesus, that God had raised him from the dead, and that he is God's only way of salvation. What made the difference? Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit. Peter's witness before the Sanhedrin was not due to his natural boldness, but to the filling of the Holy Spirit. The key to everything in the Christian life is the power of the Holy Spirit. The Bible teaches that we receive the Holy Spirit the moment we trust Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. The Spirit of God literally comes within our bodies and lives with us for the rest of our lives. It's a one-time event and he never leaves. But what makes the difference in Christian living is the degree to which we are filled with his presence. To be filled with the Spirit means that we are completely controlled by the Spirit. Peter is filled with the Holy Spirit, and the empowering work of the Spirit gives Peter boldness. And that Spirit-led boldness enables him to share the gospel before a powerful, intimidating group of people. Peter Cartwright was a Methodist preacher of the 19th century. One day he was to preach to a large congregation, and right before the service, he was informed that President Andrew Jackson would be in attendance. They told Peter Cartwright, "We thought you'd want to know so that you won't say something that may be offensive to the president." Peter Cartwright said, "Thank you for telling me." He got to the pulpit and he immediately said, "I've been told that President Andrew Jackson's in the congregation today, and I've been asked to carefully guard what I'm going to say. I want to begin by saying that Andrew Jackson will go to hell if he doesn't repent of his sin." You could have heard a pin drop. But immediately after the service, President Andrew Jackson walked up to Peter Cartwright and said, "If I had a regiment of men like you, I could whip the whole world." You see, Peter Cartwright spoke boldly from the power of the Holy Spirit. An anointed by the Spirit of God has no equal in the world. It is the God-ordained method for evangelism, edification, and exhortation. Here were a couple of country bumpkins who should have stood with shuffling feet and discouraged eyes. Instead, they looked more like who they really were, ambassadors from the courts of heaven empowered with the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit transformed average men into anointed men. Amen? Amen. Now, second, a bold witness engages the Scriptures. A bold witness engages the Scriptures. Peter quotes from the Old Testament, Acts chapter 4, verse 11. "Jesus is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone." A confident witness will make much of the Scripture. No Christian can progress very far in the Christian life or be effective in Christian service that does not make much of the Bible. The Bible is the sword that is quick and powerful. Why don't you look at it this way? The Bible paints the picture of the sinner. And the Bible presents the provision for salvation. And last but not least, the Bible produces the people called saints. So what that means to us is that the Bible provides the message and produces the members of the church. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. A Christian can be a confident witness because he is empowering something that is inspired and infallible. Saturate yourself with the word of God if you want boldness. Amen. Third, a bold witness expresses what is sure. A bold witness expresses what is sure. The disciples could not stop speaking of what they had seen and heard. Verse 20 says, as for us, we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard. They had seen the risen Lord Jesus. They saw him ascend into heaven. They had heard him explain from the scriptures the many passages about himself. They had seen him heal this lame man by his power. As a result, they spoke confidently about these matters. I know for certain that Jesus has saved me through faith in his name, and that he will save any that will call upon him. Peter and John knew that Jesus had changed their lives. The formerly crippled man knew that the name of Jesus had changed him. Anyone who has called upon the Lord to save him from his sins knows that he is mighty to save even the chief of sinners. Someone once said, it is better to know a few things for certain than a whole lot of things that aren't so. A confident witness is one who gives a testimony that is based on personal knowledge. He does not tell what he thinks or supposes, but what he knows. It says in John chapter 9, verse 25, he replied, whether he is a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see. He speaks only to what he knew as fact in his own case. He focuses on what he does know and not what he does not know. A man can be bold about what he knows. Now, fourth, a bold witness emphatically declares the Savior. The Sanhedrin had asked Peter, by what power or in what name have you done this? Acts chapter 4, verse 7. Peter explained it simply. Jesus. Acts chapter 4, verse 10 and Acts chapter 4, verse 12. No one is saved unless they trust in Jesus. There is no other way to God except through faith in Jesus Christ alone. I highly recommend that you memorize verse 12. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. This verse makes it clear the exclusive way of salvation. Salvation is found only in the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. There is no other name. There is no salvation in any other place. Peter and John were straightforward and to the point. Jesus is the only way to get to heaven, not one of the ways, but the only way. If there is salvation in none other, then there must be one that is all sufficient, and his name is Jesus. Amen? Amen. A story is told in which an accountant answered an advertisement for a top job with a large firm. At the end of the interview, the chairman asked, one last question, what is 3 times 7? The accountant thought for a moment and replied, 22. Outside, he checked himself on his calculator and concluded he had lost the job. But 2 weeks later, he was offered the post. He asked the chairman why he had been appointed when he had given the wrong answer. And the chairman replied, you are the closest. Now, some people have the mistaken idea that God is like the man who conducted that interview. They think it doesn't matter what you believe as long as you're close to the truth. However, it does matter. And let me make this clear. It is either Jesus or eternal tragedy. It is either Jesus or eternal tragedy. No in between, no other choice. In this case, it is black and white. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 19 through 20, the Apostle Paul shares a startling prayer request. Pray also for me that whenever I speak, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. Twice he repeats his request that he might speak boldly. It's the same Greek word translated boldness in Acts chapter 4, verse 13. If Paul had on his prayer list the need for boldness as a witness, then perhaps you and I should add it to our lists. We all should seek to proclaim with confident boldness the good news that there is salvation and no one else except in Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. During the song of reflection, the altar is open for you to come forward and pray for the boldness that only the Holy Spirit can give you. Let us reflect upon his message, and God bless you. I personally want to say thank you for listening to today's message. I pray that the message challenged you and blessed you. Daybreak Community Church is a non-denominational church located at 342 Nold Avenue in downtown Worcester, and Sunday morning services are at 10 a.m. in person and on 104.5 The River. It is such a blessing for me to share God's truth with you each and every week. If you'd like to donate to our ministry, you can now do that online at dccworcester.org. That's dccworcester.org. Daybreak Community Church, dccworcester.org. All gifts are completely tax exempt and most definitely appreciated. Again, thank you all for taking the time to listen today, and thank you for supporting our ministry. God bless you.